Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Kind of an early show. KM to 1 a.m.
All right, mic check. Let me get this mic situated.
Got the boy Rami Lavi behind the glass. Like Rami, bro. Tell him it's Rami Lavi, not Rami Lavi, like everybody says.
He got it right the second time.
Obviously, the Rangers are on right now. Just tied it up 1-1. Second period is about to end, so we'll take your calls during the intermission, but I feel like this is a window to talk Yanks. Obviously, with the Knicks last night and the huge Game 2 win and the injuries and Reggie Miller and all the controversy with the foul calls and Rick Carlisle's crybaby ass, like there's been a lot of conversation around Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, and the New York Knicks, rightfully so. But we can't ignore the New York Yankees. We can't ignore that the New York Yankees had a great homestand. Shout out to you if you went to the Bronx for any of those games. 5-1 on the homestand. Almost completed the sweep. Had to give the Trashtros one. That was about to be 10 in a row. Had to give them one. And you know what? They stood up for themselves in the first inning today. They stood up for themselves on getaway day. All right. They got one. And now we just beat them every other time. We see them moving forward, but that's it. That's the last time we see them in the regular season. Maybe we see them in the postseason, but I don't think they're making the postseason. And I don't care. I don't care. I'm not looking forward to facing them in the postseason to avenge the past. Like, no, their run is over. Their dynasty is over. They're cooked. They don't have the pitching. Everybody wanted us to sign Josh Hader. They can have Josh Hader. They signed Altuve. They're starting to spend some money. And Bregman sucks. And yeah, their run is over. So 877-337-6666. I will obviously take calls on the New York Yanks and the Rangers for now. And of course, we're going to get into some conversation about the Indiana Pacers, this next game, what to be expected, injuries to Brunson's sore foot and OG Anunoby's hamstring and what the bench might look like, whatever. We'll get there, but some seeds to plant because we're already up against the break and the update. Some seeds to plant for the Yankee fans. One, because the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. So let me speak to the one side of Yankee fans that's like taking victory laps for Aaron Judge, looking like Aaron Judge in the last couple weeks. See, I told you. Told you he wasn't hurt. Told you that he wasn't washed. See, he's not overshadowed by Juan Soto. Look at his swing. He's back. Right? And then the other side, which I think I'm more on the other side, of Yankee fans that were concerned and were saying, man, you know, is it the toe? Is it the oblique? Which I haven't been talking about that for weeks now. If you watch this guy run in the outfield, he's clearly not hurt. Or people talking about his mental state or his batting stance or his age, 32, whatever. Like, we all want the same thing. We're all getting that now. the captain, all rise, number 99. The ball that he hit to the fresh direct terrace, like baseballs aren't supposed to go up there. That's the sign that Aaron Judge is all the way back and locked in. Ryan Presley knew as soon as he let that ball go, Judge smacked that ball 473 feet. So I'm planting the seed on the Judge conversation. Anthony Volpe, I hate that my boy Volpe always ends up as the Yankees being down to their final out. I hate it. I feel like that's happened 10 times in the last season and a month and some change. It's like the Yankees are down to their final out. Here comes Anthony Volpe. And you know Volpe is a Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. He wants to win it every time. He's up there swinging at pitches from Josh. He wants to hit the ball out. He wants to hit the ball and drive in the tying run so bad. He wants to be the guy to win it. And the Yankees come up short. But for the Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans, I think Volpe's back. I think he fought through the change. I mean, obviously, it's a lot harder to bat leadoff than bat sixth. It's obviously tougher to face everybody's ace and be at the top of the order. And, you know, he had to go through the last month or so adjusting to that. But I think he's back, and he's looked good over the last couple of weeks. The third seed I'll plant here, and there's more. I can plant a bunch of seeds, actually. I'll probably have four or five. Gleyber Torres. It's funny because, you know, on Yankees Twitter, I see some people like at me when Gleyber Torres does something stupid or a bonehead play or mistake or strikes out or just like, it's, talk about having a terrible walk year. Talk about a prove it year, a bet on yourself year. He's not having it, man. But it's weird, right? Because you got John Birdie back and they will easily take Oswaldo out, which I know Oswaldo's not an all-star, but Oswaldo, the more he plays third base, the more I like him there, and he impacts winning. I mean, not too long ago, like before this series or two series before this one, before the Tiger series, he was tied with Judge. I think they both got to 18 ribbies at the same time. He's hit homers. He's had go-ahead hits to give the Yankees the lead, impact plays. I'd rather see him in there than John Birdie, and I also rather see him in there and John Birdie in there over Gleyber Torres every single day. But I understand, right? They're not going to give Gleyber Torres a long-term deal. They've passed on trading Gleyber Torres for the last 3 years. So you got to play him in hopes that, one, he hits and helps the team. Even though they're winning, they don't need him to hit. They're winning. There's enough guys hitting. Verdugo, Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton we'll talk about too. But you need to play him every day in hopes that he hits and raises his stock between now and July 30th, so you can trade him and get something more than a bag of chips. 877-337-6666. These are good problems to have, right? These are good conversations to have because all in all, the Yankees are 25-14, a half game out of first place, a great homestand. They go on the road to Tampa next, and you feel good. They're 6-4 in their last 10, and they were this close to completing the sweep of the Houston Astros. They absolutely dominated them. The first series and this series at home. So the last thing I'll sprinkle on you guys is, you know, starting rotation and what happens when Gerrit Cole comes back. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting to the point now. You know, Stroman, he didn't have it today, but they usually win when he's out there. And you know how he kind of is nibbling around the strike zone, and then when he's got to throw a strike, it's getting rocked. It's kind of crazy. You're looking at Luis Gil, like Luis Gil is kind of the most electric guy. Clark Schmidt has been solid enough. Carlos Rodon bounced back. And Nestor Cortez is Nestor Cortez. But, man, I'm ready for Gerrit Cole to come back. I know it's going to still be about a month and some change. But, yeah, what happens when Cole comes back? Who goes to the bullpen? Is it a six-man rotation? What are they going to do? And speaking of the bullpen, Tommy Canley's on the way back. And we'll talk more about it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, inside the 9 o'clock hour on the Fan, a little different show tonight with the Yankees starting at 5. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 1, and then C-Mac. And, yeah, I'm trying to use this window for the Yankee fans to talk about the Yankees. I understand it's playoff basketball. It's Stanley Cup playoffs, and the New York teams are in it. But the Knicks don't play tonight, and the Rangers are in intermission right now. Of course, we'll take your calls on the Knicks and the Rangers, but I think there's enough conversation going on around the New York Yankees where we can hit some of the Yankees stuff. So 877-337-6666. If you have a thought or a take or something you want to say about your New York Yankees, again, it was a good homestand. Just scoring runs. Like, I'm going off of them coming out of Baltimore and where we were at, right? I think a lot of us were disappointed with them not showing up in the Baltimore series because we looked at that as the first test this year with Juan Soto, with Verdugo, even though Verdugo missed most of that series. You know, we looked at it as, okay, the Orioles won the division last year. They won 101 games last year. They got the best of us last year. They're this young upstart team. Well, we're the New York Yankees. We've owned them for years, and now we're supposed to be back or whatever. So, like, let's go down to Camden Yards and impose our will, and that's not what happened down there. But then they got right. They got right with the Tigers series, sweeping them, and then taking the series from the Astros and just hitting and scoring and the lineup, the top of the lineup, not just the bottom of the lineup, you know, putting up crooked numbers, not being shut out inning after inning. It got warmer, right? We know as it warms up, the team is going to warm up. So all that is good. Let's get into it. Josh is in the Bronx where the Yankees play. Josh is on the Fan.
Keith, I'm telling you, I can't get off of Gerrit Cole. I mean, when Stroman came out of the game, pitching coach on the bench, Gerrit Cole, sitting next to Stroman. It was on Yes Man. They were showing him, and they were just totally reviewing, you know, his thing and everything. It's just incredible, this Gerrit Cole. I can't wait for the Yankees to get healthy, man. I know you can take it from here, man, because, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you, Keith.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Gerrit Cole is like a coach. You know, Gerrit Cole, when you hear this guy talk pitching, he's a baseball savant. He's a student of the game. He is helping all these pitchers, I'm sure. He's having conversations with all of them about what they're seeing. I mean, he also is a former Houston Astro. And I know he was on a different team, and a lot of those guys are gone. But I'm sure he knows some things about their hitters and what they do. Man, I am already at this point where I'm itching for Cole to come back. Because I know with this team hitting and it getting warmer, and then you get Cole Day every 5 days, or 6 day, we'll see what the rotation turns into. It's just going to give them an opportunity to be more dominant. And I mean, I was telling you guys when the season started, go look at the schedule for June. Go look at the teams they're going to face in June. 877-337-6666. It's going to be a gauntlet. And I think they'll be ready. I think they'll be prepared to hit, but you're going to need an ace because all the teams that we're facing are going to have an ace or multiple aces. And you got to be ready to go. That Dodgers series, that's going to be tough. You know, even the Twins just ripped off 10 wins in a row. They're going to be formidable. Kansas City Royals, they're decent. They're better this year than they were last year, tying the worst year in their franchise history. Don't sleep on the Boston Red Sox. Who else? The Baltimore Orioles again. They'll come to our place in June for three later in the month. And then you got to face the Braves. And then the Subway Series with the Mets and then the Blue Jays the month of June. The Yankees can't have a June swoon. They can't have a month of June where it's like, man, they're losing series. Because right now, they're giving themselves some breathing room. And June is when we have circled for Cole to return and potentially Jason Dominguez to return. Now, I'm not looking ahead, but we're 9 days into May. It'll be here before you know it. It'll be Memorial Day weekend when a lot of people say, hey, Memorial Day weekend for baseball. That's what. All right, now it's real. 877-337-6666. Zeke and Nagatuck on the fan. What's up, Zeke?
Yo, what's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, bro, I called the other night. It was great. Bro, these Yankees, they're crazy, man. No?
Yeah.
Top of the line.
I mean,
everyone's being so down. They won loss to the Astros, bro. They won the series, you know?
Yeah, and they could have won this game. I mean,
yeah, they had
they lost by a run. They battled back. They were in it to their last strike. I'm fine with that. Think about the homestand. They won five in a row. So it's baseball. You're going to lose a game or two.
Yeah, bro, and you got to be positive. They're hitting. They're all hitting. Cole's coming back. LeMayo's coming back. Dominguez will come back. They're going to keep going. They're not going down.
They're having fun, man. Any given night, they know that 37,000 people are showing up to Yankee Stadium. 38,000 people for this game today. It didn't look like that. It was probably, you know, the ticketed number. But still a good crowd for a 5 o'clock game. They're barking when Verdugo comes up. It's Juan Soto land out there. Judge is back. Judge is smiling, having fun. Volpe getting some. Like, Stanton hitting homers. It's looking like it's supposed to look. The Yankees are looking like the 2024 Yankees.
That's right, and everyone's got to stay more positive. They're going crazy. We haven't seen this in, you know.
Half of us are positive, half of us are negative. That's the Yankee universe,
bro. And what do you think is going to be with LeMayo when he comes back? Think he's going to be strong?
I haven't mentioned DJ because I've kind of unsubscribed. Not because I don't know what he's going to be. You know, I don't know what player he's going to be, and I know he's taking steps forward to returning, but that's another thing. What happens when he comes back? Then your infield now is crowded. And, like, is that what they're waiting for? Like, they're giving Glaber that time until DJ comes back? Because then when DJ comes back, is Oswaldo glued to the bench as the youngest guy? John Birdie, you made a trade for. They're going to play him. He's a 34-year-old veteran. But Glaber Torres, man, a lot of us are at our wits' end watching Glaber Torres play baseball. Like, that's where we've gotten from 2019 and even 2018 when he was the second runner-up for Rookie of the Year, we loved the kid. And we thought this guy was going to be our future shortstop. I didn't, but the Yankees did. To now we're like, man, get him off the field, bench him, put him, just do anything with him. He makes too many mistakes, and it's become so much a part of his everyday play. It's frustrating.
Right. I think they're going to pull him out, put Cabrera and LeMayu and Birdie, they're going to rotate them. That's what I think.
Yeah, I would like to see some kind of rotation, depending on the pitching matchups, rest. I just don't think Gleyber Torres is an everyday player at this point. But like I said, I understand them playing him, hoping that he runs into a couple because you want him to raise his stock so you can trade him for something coming up at the deadline. There's just no way, in my opinion, that they don't try to trade him, and there's no way, in my opinion, that they give him a long-term deal after this year. He's gone.
Yo, bro, thanks, Keith. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Zeke. Yeah, it's kind of depressing, right, for the Gleyber Torres fans. I know a lot of you guys really love Gleyber, but, like, I'm trying to win, bro. I don't care. This is supposed to be a World Series year. This is supposed to be hell-bent on a championship year. This is supposed to be an all-in year. And when I see Gleyber Torres do this so much, I'm like, could you imagine that happening in the ALCS? No, I'm not even going to say in the World Series. Like, they haven't been to a World Series since I was in college buying kegs. Like, imagine in the ALCS. And honestly, we've seen Gleyber perform in October. We've also seen him go quiet in October. I'm over it, man. I just feel like the ship has sailed. 877-337-6666. So, I mean, Boone said he was pleased with LeMayu's progress. You know, they said they're encouraged by how he's doing.
But man, I mean, it's like, DJ's another one. If we go back to 2019, 2020, this guy was getting MVP votes. This guy is a batting champ in both leagues. Man, he was automatic with runners in scoring position. I used to call the guy DJL MVP. He was the MVP because he wasn't a bopper like Luke Voit. He wasn't swinging for the fences like Gary Sanchez. This was a guy coming up, runners on. He'll hit a double in the gap. He'll slap a single through. And then occasionally he will show you the power. But I don't know what he is at this point. And it's unfortunate. But it's baseball, Susan. Like, ultimately, we're trying to win. Ultimately, we need the best players out there. Ultimately, the bar has been raised by guys like Juan Soto. So if Gleyber Torres can't cut it, he can't cut it. And we'll see. I mean, DJ's going to get an opportunity. He's under contract as well. I think he's, what, in the fourth year of this contract? Like, he's going to get a chance to rock as well. But I am not banking on him. You know what I started to do this season? When he first, you know, went on that rehab stint and he played in Somerset. And I think in the second inning, he got pulled. He had a sore foot. I started thinking then, because of, like, the lineup getting stagnant, I'm like, all right, DJ's coming back. I started getting excited for DJ to come back then. And I'm like, ah, setback. So I unsubscribed. But who knows? That's why we watch. And we'll certainly take a DJ LeMahieu, but we don't know what player he's going to be, is all I'm saying. Is he going to be more like 2020, 2019 DJ? Or is he going to be more like 2022 DJ? Or, you know, there were parts of last year where he did get it going in the second half, and I hope that DJ is more so that guy, because we could use it. We could use it. His true position is second base, and we know he's a utility guy. I think, you know, Rizzo obviously got an off day on Sunday. I think that Rizzo could benefit from having some off days, DJ playing first. But DJ could be a guy that they put at first, second, and third, and we'll see. 877-337-6666. Good problems to have. They're not problems. I'm not complaining. I'm very happy with the Yankees right now. I'm very happy with where we are in this season. Glenn in New Orleans. My guy, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well, Keith, and I hope you are doing the same.
I am, man. You know, last time we spoke, you spoke something into existence. You said you were waiting to see me pop up on MLB Network. I'm back on off base tomorrow at 4 p.m., so make sure you tune in. I'll be over there on the show.
I heard you say that the other night.
Yeah.
When you were talking, it was either Knicks or Rangers, but I heard you slide that in. I got a little note on my wall here, so I don't forget.
Awesome.
Hey, I was going to talk about my LSU guy, DJ, but you just addressed that. But Doogie, he's still on that pace, got a 25 homers, and I really feel confident that he's going to get there. Hitting around, what, 270, 275. I think everybody has to be pleased with what he's brought to the team. He had a nice throw in today, almost got the runner at second base, but he fired a dart from the left field wall. So things are looking good. Is there
cooled off a little
time?
Bit. Cooled off a little bit at the plate today and yesterday, but we're not holding it against him. He's become a fan favorite. I was at the game on Tuesday. They're barking as soon as he comes up. He's making plays in left field, going backwards, coming in on the ball, throwing the ball. He's a guy that, you know, he took Verlander deep and turned it up. And he's a guy that has come in here and embraced the Yankee culture and the Yankee way and being a Yankee. And I wasn't so sure about him coming over from Boston, but he's been a pleasant surprise. I hope he has a banner year. But I was saying the other night, man, I like the way he plays in left. We haven't had a guy over there in left since Gardy, and people don't even like Gardy. Like, I think he's a better hitter than Gardy was. Where's he going to go next year? Who knows? He's definitely going to get offered more money. Somebody's going to throw a bag at him to go play left field somewhere else. But I'm like, man, he fits with these guys.
Yeah, well, like he said, he really looks comfortable there. He looks like he enjoys it. If things continue to go that way, I'm sure he'd like to stay with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And hey, he might be willing to take a tad less money to stay there.
He just had his third kid. He's got to get the paper. He's got to get every dollar. He's taking the biggest contract to go wherever.
Hey, he can go sell that big number 99 medallion that he wore when he was with the Red Sox, because he's not going to wear that. All right, Keith, I'll be watching you tomorrow, man. Have a good evening.
Appreciate you, Glenn. 877-337-6666.
66. All right, well, Rami Lavie just said in my ear, and I go to Twitter to confirm, the pride of Toms River North, Chach, a.k.a. Ron Marinaccio, was optioned to AAA. Nick Birdie will be activated. So as I said, we're going to talk about the bullpen, Tommy Canley on the way back, Nick Birdie on the way back, and this bullpen being ever-changing, right? A lot of you jump the gun and be like, they're going to burn out this bullpen. And you know the Yankees are already thinking about burning the bullpen out. Clay Holmes has appeared in half our games, and we got to protect Clay. We can only have him throw 10 pitches. Listen, it is what it is. Like, we got to watch Michael Tonkin pitch. We're going to see a bunch of different guys coming out of that bullpen. And I trust Brian Cashman, Matt Blake, and Aaron Boone to deploy these guys in the right spots, and they've been pretty good. You know, it's baseball. You're going to have some Michael Tonkin moments. You're going to have some moments where you outmanage yourself and you don't let Clay Holmes, go after it. But Clay has been solid. He's on his way to being another all-star. Nick Birdie was solid in the early on of this year, so he's definitely a welcome addition. Ron Marinaccio, he's still very young, and he's got plenty options. And, he was serviceable today. He had a rough spring. He still can work on some things, and maybe he'll come back. But again, this bullpen for the New York Yankees is very fluid, ever-changing, evolving. It's not going to look the same week to week. And, I'm hoping that they can get some pieces at the trade deadline for the bullpen, too. Because I go back to Michael King, the year that Michael King got hurt. Like, you need a guy with some stuff coming out of the bullpen that's not your closer. You also need a power pitcher that can just throw hard and blow it by guys. Like, I don't know. They've got enough, and they're figuring it out, especially with Gerrit Cole and especially with some of these starters not being able to go deep in games. All in all, the Yankees are a half game out of first place with 25 wins. 877-337-6666. Patrick in Rockville Center, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? Love what you're doing. Love the energy that you bring. Love you talking Yankees. You're the best, man.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate it. Hey, got 2 points on Glaber. It seems like Glaber's the hot-button topic tonight. Wanted to get your take on him. First, I think it's pretty clear that Glaber is an emotional player. And what I mean by that is this year he's going into a big contract year. Clearly, he's pressing a little bit. He wants to try and get the most money that he can at the market. And in years prior, when you've seen guys like Stanton and Judge go down, I feel like Glaber has tried to shoulder the load. They're trying to maybe sometimes put him into the four hole, and I think he's pressed in those situations as well. So I guess first part of the question, do you see him taking maybe a one-year deal, kind of reset his market? It seems like he really loves living in New York and all that it brings. Do you see that happening, one? And then point two, maybe I'm way off base with this, but it seems like Glaber is Soto's best friend on the team. I mean, you saw the early Instagram post of Glaber and Soto at Jordan's barbershop. It seems like Glaber has really been a good bridge welcoming Soto onto the team. You mentioned that maybe they trade or flip Glaber at the trade deadline. I do worry a little bit that if they do that, they could be upsetting Soto when all along we've heard Cashman saying, hey, this is a one-year, we're going to try him out. If we can sign Soto long-term, we're going to try and do that. So, no, I was long-winded there, but hopefully you got some thoughts.
Yeah, I'll answer all those questions. Thanks for the call, Patrick. One, Gleyber Torres would take a one-year deal for $1 million if the Yankees offered that to him. He's going to get more than that elsewhere, but why would the Yankees offer that to him? Enough is enough. You guys don't watch this stuff. It's super annoying. And then two, with the whole pressing thing, I watched Aaron Judge have the greatest walk year ever. Juan Soto is also in a contract year. How's he doing? Man, this is supposed to be the mecca of baseball, Brian Cashman. We're supposed to have the best of the best here. Gleyber Torres' time, man, it has come. I just have seen too much of his baseball DNA, and it's lapses, mental lapses, errors, just mistakes on the base path. Enough. Like, you guys all know it. You guys have all seen it. And you guys got to miss me with the Juan Soto friendship. I bet you everybody's Juan Soto's best friend. Juan, if you need a friend, I'm available, man. I don't have many friends. We can hang out. Like, the friends, let's go back to Gio Urshela. What did they do with Gleyber Torres' best friend, Gio Urshela? Goodbye.
We'll package you with Gary Sanchez. And talk about, like, a losing player, right? Gary Sanchez got killed for behind the plate and his at-bats, and they got him up out of here, but Gleyber Torres is still kicking it here. I don't think Juan Soto is going to look at the Yankees and say, you know, Gleyber and I got food, you know, in the Bronx in the middle, and we got haircuts together. How could you? Gleyber Torres can go. Juan Soto's trying to win. You know how many different teammates Juan Soto has had in the last 3 years? 100. 877-337-6666. We'll take some calls on the Rangers, on the Knicks, as the third period is underway. I've got plenty of time. I'm on till 1 a.m. Call me up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. The Fan in New York City. 101.9 FM. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, taking your calls, talking the talk. Alexi Lafreniere. Rangers up 2-1 as we go to break. I just said to Rami, I missed it. I'm like, they were on commercial. Next thing I know, they come back, go. I'm like, it happened so fast. You can't look down. That's the thing with hockey in general, but definitely Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to be paying attention. If you look down at your phone or you're on your computer, I went to get some water, came back, pulled up some more notes, some different things going on. I'm like, boom, 2-1. I saw the replay.
Especially when that line's on the ice for the Rangers, though. Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere, they make it happen quick.
Yeah, didn't they just get on the ice?
Yeah, they just got on the ice. A nice play by Trocheck to get it in the zone. Panarin coming down the left side. Great pass to the middle.
So I'm saying, bro, they got too many dudes and dogs. They got a wagon of a team. They're good. They're good. Let's bring in our guy Ross in Bergen County. I know he saw that. What's up, Ross?
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man? Listen, dude, Lafreniere, you know, he's done miracles on me, man. This is a guy who I was, you know, I bring up. I was one of the top people on the list to get on him. And Kako, too.
I know.
Just like the poster boys of just this team's
people were writing him off.
Capability of developing a player. And he is just absolutely bursting onto the scene, dude. And you're looking just now this night. I'm looking on Twitter, people talking about Carolina, like quantity over quality with their shots, just throwing pucks at the net. And that's what you got to do this time of year, man. And you look at Gensel, three of his last four goals this series have just been thrown in the net. It just clips his stick and finds the back of the net. You're looking at Lafreniere right here, just he shoots it from the back of the faceoff circle, and now they're up. And you're looking at, by the way, you know, second period, I was going to bring up right before this how the first period was a disaster. Second period, they were getting chances. I saw Panarin, for some reason, hesitate on his shot, wound up with a backhander on the goal line, and then Trocheck barely didn't even get a shot off at all. And, you know, I brought up Carolina. They got I think they had 40 shots even before the puck drop going into the third. I mean, they've just been throwing everything at Igor, and he's stood on his head, you know, to this point, knock on wood. I didn't just jinx him there. But, you know, all in all, dude, you basically just got to throw pucks in that. You look at even last series with Carlson. Just, you know, hocked it from the blue line and it went in. So, you know what, you know, to this point, they haven't really got fancy with it just yet. And it was kind of, you know, something like Panarin in years past. He just feels the need to just, you know, whip out all the dangles and everything. But, hey, man, if they, you know, keep this up, you know, this solid start to the period so far, they got to keep it going.
Exactly what I was about to say. Good start to the third period, bro. And
You set the tone. Set the tone for these last 20 minutes. And, you know, you make up for first period, they were getting walked left and right. I mean, it seemed like every other second Carolina was entering their zone.
Mm-hmm.
And even the penalties, too. Even first period, you look at guys like Svechnikov, he's one of their top point producers, and he's been a pest, dude. He's like Wilson, borderline Wilson levels of pest, you know, through these first three games. You see the thing with VC going after Nakis after the whistle. You know, that first period was violent. Second period kind of settled down a little bit, and that's what kind of got them back into the game. So, they keep this up last 20 minutes, dude. If they could go up 3-0, that is vital. You know what? When you say, you know, the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game, and you also say going into rally for two games, you got to win one, there's a big difference between that one game being game three as opposed to game four. And if they could snag game three here, I'm not saying you go leaning on game four. Like I said, pedal to the metal. You know what? I don't want to even count the chickens before they hatch, but I'm just saying, you know, if they could go up 3-0, only four times ever it's happened. So, you know, I said set the tone, keep it up, don't let them off the hook, and hey, man, let's get the job done here.
sorry, Rami was saying something to me, and I just had my own thought, and I just saw the Celtics loss, and I'm also looking at these fans in Carolina sitting on their hands. I don't have the sound on in here, but it seems like the fans are already out of it, bro. They're down
2-0 in the series. Their fans are sitting on their hands. They're not pumped up. I've been to enough Devils games. These people are not turned up in there right now.
Well, they packed that place, but there's a lot of Ranger fans down there, and they tried doing that. I think I told you they tried doing that thing that they were doing out in SoFi.
Yeah, trying to block the
zip code. Yeah, but there's a lot of retirees down there that happen to live in that area or from New York and, you know, guess what, or from Hartford, too, where Carolina came from. And, you know, probably switched gears when, you know, when they went down to Carolina, you know what, kind of like so a lot of people with Brooklyn and New Jersey, they're like, you know what, I'm not going to, you know, stay put. Maybe I'll pick up another local team. Oh, my God, I'm trying to, my bad, I'm watching live.
I'm watching it.
Oh, my God, I haven't
mentioned Hedo coming back tonight. My God.
And that's vital, dude. Listen, man, I know Rempy's fun for the stories and everything, but at the end of the day, he's a goon, and that's all he is. I know he had that first goal, and I was even hesitant, too. We're talking about James Dolan. I remember calling you up when we were talking about the upcoming draft at the Sphere and how they didn't want to trade that pick because they wanted to have, like, a constellation graphic over their first-round pick. This is the same owner we're talking about, and I was kind of afraid they were going to keep Rempy around because he's selling the jerseys and the jerseys. But listen, man, you bring in Hedo, even though he's played 10 games this year. Yeah, I think he last played November is what they were saying. And I'm not saying he's a full-blown playoff performer because he's great all around, but, you know, everybody points to that shift. 2022, I think it was game one against Tampa. They had like that two-minute shift when it was, remember, the inseparable kid line when it was Lav prior to him breaking out, and then they stuck him with Kako and Hedo, and there was like that two-minute shift. They were just rotating around the net, and then Hedo potted it on the one-timer. That's kind of what he does this time of year. So they need to find a spot for him. They put him on that third line, and, you know, he's been pretty visible tonight. So, if he could be an X-factor for him going down the road, that's big, too. That's a big get. And, you know, we just saw that play there. If he could have finished that going up 3-1, that would have been big, man. But all in all, you know, things are shaping up. And like I say, you know, you can't get comfortable at this point. Just got to keep going.
Thanks for the call, Ross. 877-337-6666. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And I'm trying to figure out what happened. See, okay, before I take this next call, I want to say this. I listen to the fan just like you guys do. Maybe not all day because I have a baby and I got to sleep since I work the night shift and I'm in and out, but I know what the conversations are. We talk about the Boston Celtics as if it's a foregone conclusion that the Boston Celtics are about to sweep the Cavaliers. Well, that didn't happen as of the last few minutes. We talk about the Boston Celtics as if it's a foregone conclusion that they're just going to waltz into the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. Especially now with the injuries to the Knicks. Even hearing last night, Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley talk, oh, well, I can't wait till they get smacked by the Boston Celtics. It's sports. This is why people gamble. This is why people waste money gambling. This is why people spend money on tickets. Nobody knows what's going to happen. If everybody knew what was going to happen, why would they play the games? So I'm looking at this box score. The Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, they were on a mission. Game two and TD go. You can't tell me that the Boston Celtics are just so untouchable. I don't care about the regular season. They fold every year. They fold every year. They can have off games. I'm trying to figure out. Shout out to my guy, Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert. So Donovan Mitchell had 29. Evan Mobley, 21. Just mentioned Caris LeVert with 21 off the bench. All five starters for the Cavaliers in double digits. Now, I know it's one game. I also know in the first round, the Miami Heat got one game. And Joe Mazzulla and these guys will make adjustments. But the series isn't a four-game series as of tonight. Joe out in Las Vegas. Did you watch that game? What's up, Joe?
Yes. That's why I called. I called immediately, and the guy who answered was like, holy cow, the Celtics lost. I'm like, yeah. I have the Knicks the Rangers on one TV. I had the Celtics on the other TV. I ended up getting more drawn into the Celtics game. The Celtics looked like garbage tonight. I mean,
they got dominated. Donovan Mitchell, I'm looking at the box disgusting. Score, and I'm looking at this stuff now online. What happened to them tonight? I did not watch this game because I was watching the Yankees and then the Rangers.
They did not show up. It was bad. They were like 23% from three-point land, which is usually their bread and butter. Donovan Mitchell was plus 38 tonight.
Ew, they only scored 40 points in the second half.
Yes, it's so bad. And it's funny because I'm with you. The national media, oh, the Knicks ain't going to beat the Celtics. Oh, the Knicks ain't going to beat the Celtics. And it's funny, when I listen to you, you call it out. You don't listen to the national media. You listen, you know, you have your ear to the ground in New York, which is why I listen to the fan. I mean, I could keep TNT on at ESPN, but honestly, that's why I love to listen to you and everybody else at at WFAN, because I feel like you guys actually watch the game.
Yeah, I'm not going off of what anybody's saying or what anybody's thinking. I'm watching the games. That's why I backtrack when I said, oh, Julius Randle's out. That night they played the Kings, I bet against them. I bet the Kings. And I lost money because I was leaning into the fact that they lost Julius Randle. They were going to be mentally and physically hit by that. Not at all. That doesn't happen with this team.
Wasn't that one of the most fun games of the year versus the Kings?
It was a statement game. It was a game basically telling the world, we knew Julius wasn't coming back. We've evolved and changed our identity without him. Yep. We're good. And they smacked the Celtics late in the season. And the Celtics were talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to rest guys. And then they played their guys, and then they pulled their guys when they realized they didn't want the smoke.
Yeah, well, remember when the Patriots almost lost to the Giants when they were undefeated the last game of the season?
I do remember. Everybody remembers that. Yeah.
Beat them in the Super Bowl. Then they came back around and beat them in the Super Bowl.
It was foreshadowing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm on cloud nine right now because, truthfully, I'm not saying the Cavs are going to win this series, but push them deep into it if you can.
They just showed the world they're not getting swept and that they can play with these guys. And everybody thought it was a foregone conclusion because they went 7 with the Orlando Magic that, like, oh, no, they no way can they hold serve with the almost 65-win Boston Celtics, the greatest team assembled in the NBA this year.
Well, there's plenty of regular season champions. We saw what happened with the Bruins.
That's what they
are. The Bruins last year. Yep, every year.
Every year they fold. I hate the Boston Celtics. Obviously, I'm a Nets fan, and I have some history there with that. But it's like to crown these guys year after year when we have seen them fail, I'm going to lean more into they're going to fail in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown was talking about winning some 5 championships. Doesn't have not a one. And they can keep changing the team. They can get Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, get rid of Marcus Smart, whatever. They are still
frauds.
They're
going to have to get rid of somebody. They're going to have to make another change. They can't pay Holiday, Brown,
Tatum. They can get rid of Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
No. Well, Udoka, I thought Udoka was a good coach.
He was.
Actually. And,
he just and wasn't a good guy. Happened.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff happened. He's cheating on his wife and all that stuff. But he was, I mean, honestly, look, he's actually bringing the Rockets up. I mean, I think he's a better
coach. The stupid Nets were going to sign him, but you know, Kyrie wanted to be anti-Semitic and post some dumb stuff. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we can't weather the PR nightmare of Ime Udoka's, cheating scandal, having sex with people in the organization on top of Kyrie posting links to videos that he didn't even watch.
It's crazy. Honestly, people they cling on to stuff sometimes. Yeah. And look at Kyrie now. I mean, Kyrie's getting the last laugh. Because
of course he is.
I mean, he's having fun.
Look at KD now. They fired Frank Vogel. The Slim Reaper strikes again. KD got Kenny Atkinson fired. KD got Steve Nash fired. Ultimately, I would say he also got Jacques Vaughn fired. I put that more on Ben Simmons. Now he goes to the Suns and gets Frank Vogel fired. And whoever the coach was.
I don't even want to say anything bad about KD. He'll get me fired.
Maybe me too.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Thanks for the call, Joe. I hope you're repping the Knicks out there in Vegas. Man, I went home today. I live in Ocean Town, or I grew up in Ocean Township in Monmouth County. I went home today, man, just to spin the block, get a fresh cut from my boy Ray, who's been cutting my hair for years, and get the car washed. And, you know, before things happen in my life, professionally, personally, when I just... I don't know. Sometimes when I'm soul searching, I need to go back to what I call the soil. And I like literally went back to the like little apartment that I grew up in today. I saw 3 different people repping the Knicks. I'm like, people don't rep the Knicks like this. I saw 3 different people and they weren't wearing new Knicks gear. It was not some new Knicks gear that they just bought. I saw 3 different human beings wearing old Knicks sweaters that were probably as old as me or close to it. It's that time right now for the New York Knicks. Everyone that ever supported the New York Knicks at some period in time, they're digging in the closet like, yeah, hold on, let me get that 1994. Yes, still fits. I didn't speak to these guys, but I'm like, I saw some Ranger stuff. And I'm like, this is because you feel proud of the team. You feel like you can rep the team and you believe. So keep believing, right? I believe the Knicks can do whatever this year. I stopped drinking that haterade. And I listen to the fan and people, oh, well, if the Knicks keep playing like this, they're going to lose. I think quite the opposite. If the Knicks keep playing like this, they're going to win because playing like this is their formula for winning. 877-337-6666. Can we find out what's happening with OG? Now, it's a hamstring injury, which if it's any type of strain or pull, I think I heard Tiki today talking about how he pulled his quad in the Carton and Roberts versus Tiki and Tierney softball game last year. Well, I also strained my hamstring late in the game because Craig had us playing 18 innings after saying, we're just going to play one 9-inning. We end up playing all night. It's dark. We're playing 18 innings. I'm like, bro, I don't do this. Anyway, I'm in left field and a fly ball gets hit over my head. I'm trying to track it down. I try to open up the stride.
The two guys who are in the best shape here are the ones who got hurt.
I was in left field. Tiki was in center. And we were tracking down fly balls. I had like 8 putouts. I was on it. But by the time that like lactic acid set in, and I was on paternity leave back then. I was sitting in the crib. I wasn't doing anything. Man, that hamstring strain that I had, I just dropped. And I had to ice it up, hit the Epsom salt bath, hit the heating pad. And I've done them. I've done these before. I've had them, rather, in college, straining my hamstring playing football when I actually was athletic. It is not something that, and if anybody, all of you have hamstrings. You don't have to be an athlete to pull or strain your hamstring. What I'm saying is, if OG Anunoby went down with that last night, there's no way, in my opinion, that he's ready to play tomorrow unless there's some miraculous, okay, he's officially out. I'm about to say, I didn't see that. I was waiting to see the verdict.
Questionable for game 4.
Okay, so he's out for tomorrow. That's ruled out. And then he's questionable for game 4. That changes the series. That changes how you feel about things. But again, I wouldn't sleep on the Knicks because they're up in the series. And they're going to Indiana where these guys have been crying about the officiating. And I just feel like they're licking their wounds. I feel like if you go in there and battle with them, you beat them twice. It really depends on how healthy Brunson is, but you can afford to lose a game. Either way, they're up in the series. They're in the driver's seat. And I think you get a little boost as well, knowing that the Celtics, now this is definitely a 5-game series, right? They're not going to sweep them. Maybe they gentlemen sweep. Maybe they get it together. But go look at this box score. If you watch the game, call me up. But yeah, the Cavaliers played well. They played defense, they shot well, and looking at the box score, they dominated the Boston Celtics in the fake garden. 877-337-6666. Call me up, man. We'll be right back. This that great people upon that AP on that TED Talk. Hey, Kendrick Lamar just won the battle and shot back up. Now this guy was dormant. We were saying K-Dot fell off. And all it takes is a little bit of beef, a little bit of competition. Iron sharpens iron. And Kendrick's streams are back up. All his old stuff is being streamed. He definitely won the battle. I'm a Drake fan. I'm a Kendrick fan. But I lean Drake just because Drake has way more hits and way more music in my playlist than Kendrick. But ultimately, those two guys sparring like that over these last couple weeks, it's over. I don't think you'll hear another track. You know how Drake is, though, if you're a hip-hop fan. Keith McPherson on the fan, by the way. Obviously a hip-hop fan. Drake is just going to sub Kendrick for the next 3 years. He's just going to put songs out with little shots at Kendrick. But he's not going to do another diss track. Drake was bowing out on the last one. And Kendrick, man, that Not Like Us track is an all-time record. Period. Just like all-time bop. The DJ Mustard beat. It's so LA. It's so Compton. You can dance to it. And the lyrics, the stuff that he's saying about Drake. And I mean, he took shots at Chubbs. He took shots at Party Next Door, Baca. Like, I know 90% of the words. I was driving back from Monmouth County today. I played that song like 4 times. I'm like, I already know the words to this track. Like, this is an all-time record. If you guys remember back in, what was it, 2016? When Drake dropped Back to Back, that was another all-time bop, and everybody learned the words to that song. I learned the game from William Wesley, You Can Never Check Me. Shout out to William Wesley and the New York Knicks. Fast forward some years to 2024, William Wesley, come to the front, man. How come Leon Rose, William Wesley, James Dolan, they're nowhere to be found? Have you seen these guys recently? Have they popped out?
Yeah, there was after the game in Philly, Wes had a big hug for Thibodeau.
Okay, so you've seen them on the camera a little bit, but they don't do any interviews. They don't do any type of media availability at all.
They have no leaks. Like, also last night, we're trying to figure out what's going on with Brunson. Nothing until the Knicks account themselves.
That's what I was saying on air last night. I'm like, all right, we couldn't find out during the game. I thought his hand was hurt. I thought something was wrong with his groin. Then I saw online a sore foot. And I still want to know what happened in the locker room.
No one knows still.
What did they do to him that he came out first and played like he did, too? What was said to the team that they came out and played the way they did, scoring 36 points compared to the Pacers 18? Like, that was a movie. Like, they could make a little short film off of that one game.
You're still buying that it was a sore foot? Like, I don't know what to believe, honestly.
I don't know what to believe either. Whatever, I believe they won. I got to tap in. I got to follow more Knicks reporters and have, like, Knicks updates on my phone. When you're a Nets fan, you don't do that. But, like, the Nets are irrelevant and eliminated. And, like, I needed to know that OG Anunoby was ruled out. I thought it was still up in the air because they're tight-lipped on everything all morning. And I needed to know what happened to Brunson in the locker room. I think I heard all these different things about, did he take a shot? I think I heard Tiki talking about Toradol. And, I mean, whatever. Whatever they did, it worked. And he's got to be ready to go in this next game. And obviously, without OG Anunoby, you lose a huge defensive presence, and you just got his best offensive game as a Knick last game. So you lose that too. But I just think that these guys are so mentally tough and conditioned that, like, they don't care. Any challenge, they don't care. And also, I think, you know, them sitting wherever they were tonight watching the Cavs-Celtics game, they're probably looking at the screen like, wait, this is the team? The almighty Celtics? Like, remember Josh Hart popping Donovan Mitchell's chain? Like, punking the Cavs? I don't know, man. I love the NBA. It's going to get even better. It's been good this first round and few games. It's going to get even better. 877-337-6666. I'm about an hour in. Rock until 1 a.m., KM till 1 a.m. on the Fan. BRB.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.